We are back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Robin Cole, who is the executive director over at Pawnee Mental Health Services, coming up on 9:50 here this morning. And, you know, March is almost over, hard to believe, but it is Women's History Month, and I figured it'd be a good time to talk specifically about women's mental health issues. And Robin, and I know that it can vary from person to person, but you know, women experience things similarly to what men do, but there are some key differences.
Yeah, that's right. So this is Women's History Month, and at Pawnee Mental Health, we thought that this was a good month to do a campaign focusing on women pioneers in mental health. And so we've had some internal information that we've been sharing with our employees just about women who were significant pioneers in the development of mental health over the years. We've also had an internal campaign just acknowledging the women leaders in the organization. And it's been interesting because, you know, obviously as a woman leader of an organization, I've seen the field of mental health change just during my career, in terms of who, you know, who is working within the field. When I first started working as a therapist, at Pawnee, and this was back in the 80s, we had a lot of men, who were working as therapists. And it's been interesting because over the years, what I've observed is that there are more women who are working in the field of mental health than there were when my career first began. And even at the association level, with the Association of Community Mental Health Centers of Kansas, I've been an executive director now for 16 years. And when I first became executive director, there were just a handful of women who were in that role. It was primarily men, but over time, and in fact, just even this week with the announcement of one of the most recent appointments of a new executive director to the Mental Health Center in Greensburg, Kansas, the number of men and women executive directors in the Association of Community Mental Health Centers is now equally divided. There are 13 women and there are 13 men. So that was sort of an interesting milestone to observe. But I for individuals who might be interested in just helping us celebrate a little bit about, you know, female pioneers in mental health or women within the organization, I would encourage them if they haven't already, or if they're not already following us on Facebook, that they might go ahead and do that. We have a number of different posts that feature many of the individuals who've provided leadership, female individuals who've provided leadership within our organization and within the field of mental health. Just this morning, as I was gathering some of my thoughts for today, I went online and I saw that SAMHSA, and that's the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, published an article just today that was focusing on the needs of women to prioritize their mental health. And so, you know, for people who are interested in maybe taking a look at these SAMHSA materials, I would encourage you just to Google SAMHSA's website and Google Women's Mental Health. They have information there that I think is really good for women and for people who know women or are in relationships with women. And that includes most of us, you know, who are interacting with or who are women. But certainly, as you said before, you know, these principles just apply to everyone. But I think women in particular oftentimes are caregivers to their families and friends. Not that men aren't, but, you know, historically or stereotypically, women have often been the caregivers to family members and friends. And so what oftentimes happens then is that they might overlook giving themselves the care that they need because they're very focused on taking care of other people. And whether you're a man or a woman, you know, those of you who are caregivers know what I'm talking about. That those who are caregivers oftentimes will sacrifice doing what is helpful for them, whether it's their physical health or their mental health, because they want to make sure that they're taking care of everybody else or that everybody else's needs are being met. And, you know, generally speaking, there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe if there was a little bit more of that in the world, we wouldn't have some of the problems we're having in this world today. But it's really important for people who are caregivers to stop and take time, you know, and sometimes for people who are caregivers, just taking time for yourself to do something for you, or maybe to do nothing for you, because sometimes what somebody needs is not, you know, an opportunity to go someplace or do something. Sometimes it's not, they just need an opportunity to sit and do nothing. And nothing might look like watching TV. Nothing might look like reading a book. Nothing might look like just sitting and staring out the window. You know, nothing can look like a lot of things, or something can look like a lot of things, but it's important, you know, to take that time to do something for yourself. And then it's always, under all circumstances, so important to get a good night's rest, and to get a good night's rest every night, and to do it consistently. You know, it, lack of sleep may not be the, sometimes lack of sleep can be the symptom of, or can be emblematic of the fact that somebody's having physical or mental health problems. But sometimes lack of sleep can be what causes or begins some of the physical health problems or mental health problems. So it's very important for people to get a good night's rest. And the last I saw, anywhere from 7 to 9 hours, you know, is what's recommended for adults. So that's really important. And, you know, occasionally we might have to cut ourselves short. And I know people in radio, I mean, I know I'm talking to you, Brandon.
Oh, absolutely.
I know I'm talking to you. You know, I think you could probably write a book on the importance of sleep and on the impact that it has, you know, on your physical or mental health when you don't get enough sleep.
Yeah. I try to go to bed earlier and earlier, but sometimes the kids aren't having that. So
it's, and that's really tough. And that's part of that caregiving thing, you know, and certainly at different stages of life, we have more demands on us than at other stages. And when you have children at home, that certainly is a stage of life when you have more demands on you, you know. And I also think especially of parents who have adult children with special needs, you know, that group of individuals especially needs to find ways to take care of themselves, because it's one thing when you are the parent of a child. It's another thing when you're the parent of an adult child who has special needs, whether those special needs are physical, whether they're mental health needs, whether they are developmental needs. Parents of adult children, you know, really do carry a special burden that I think hardly anybody understands, except for maybe other parents of adults, adult children with special needs. But so take time for yourself, get a lot, you know, get sleep. Exercise has been seen as being a really important component to good mental health as well. I mean, we all know about physical mental health or physical health, but it's important for mental health as well.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Robin, always good to talk to you here, and we'll look forward to talking more about Pawnee Mental Health next month as well.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.
All right, coming up tomorrow on In Focus, we're going to hear from Josh Kyle, RCBD captain, as we'll get an update from the police department. Also, Terry Olson's going to join us. She's got a special event planning in April.
And our press conference with Jerome Tang at noon.